Welcome to Here We Grow, a grassroots podcast by Southwest Georgia Farm Credit focused on education and inspiring growth down on the farm, at home, and in rural communities. Whether you're a farmer or farmer, advocate, land lover, or southern dweller, we have industry experts and homegrown leaders ready to share their insights with you. Thanks for listening.
Welcome to Here We Grow. I'm your host, Brant Harrell, a relationship manager for Southwest Georgia Farm Credit. Our podcast today focuses on ag technology and equipment outlook for 2024. If you're interested in agricultural advancements through technology and have plans to purchase equipment for your operation soon, this episode is definitely for you. In the studio with me today, I welcome Johnny Villanueva with Flint River Irrigation and Reagan Brown, a relationship manager with Southwest Georgia Farm Credit. Johnny and Reagan, thanks for joining me today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Johnny is the managing partner and general manager of Flint River Irrigation, which is an affiliate of AgriSpray Drones. He started his drone business a little over 2 years ago in Lee County with the purpose to educate, sell, and service the general public in agricultural spray drones. Johnny also farms row crops with Alex Harrell, and together they looked into ag spray drones to solve a need for precision application in small field trials. The DJI Agri line of spray drones allowed him to be on the cutting edge of new farming practices and be more precise in foliar applications. He soon became the local resource for everything spray drones and decided to enter into a partnership with AgriSpray to meet a growing, fast-paced demand on local farms. This demand, coupled with online education, started with what we now know as Flint River Irrigation, and it is a successful drone retail business. Johnny, welcome today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to be here and talk a little bit about what we're so passionate about in this industry.
Well, in my opinion, it's the greatest industry in the world, so it's a lot of fun. Johnny, thanks for joining us today. I'm going to let you kind of take the floor. I know there's several bullet points that you'd like to for the audience to hear, and I know you do this every day, probably most likely on the tailgate of a truck. So just open the floor and get started. Tell us all you know about drones.
Yeah, thank you, Brant. I appreciate you again for having us here and talk a little bit about this ever-changing, fast-paced industry. So like you said, we kind of got into the drone space probably closer to 3 years ago now. We had a need on our farm to be able to precisely apply certain nutrients to the crop, specifically soybeans and corn, to kind of help push that yield. As everyone knows, in this industry, especially this year, this growing season, everything's a lot tighter. We're watching our pennies a little closer here. So we were struggling with putting on late season nutrients, foliar applications with the equipment that's available today. Obviously, ground rig would be what most farmers use to do herbicide, fungicide, and foliar applications. But with that, I think something that everybody kind of leaves out is compaction and tire tracks. And when you're running over a crop, you're taking that return on your investment out. However small it may seem, it does add up, especially the more acres that you farm. So we had a need to be able to apply these late season foliar applications to our crop. And Alex kind of saw this technology at a trade show during trade show season, you know, early in the year. And we just sat down and discussed, hey, do you think this would, you think we could make this viable on our application? So we kind of took that, bought a couple initially. The T30 was the first model that we had experience with. And not only did it meet the needs that we were after, but we kind of started thinking of other places that we could use it, not only just putting out foliar and fungicide, but managing late-season weeds, even looking into the next year, spraying these bottoms, wet bottoms that stay, have moisture in them longer than we would desire to have to manage willow trees and weeds and just overgrowth. So we started looking at how else can we use this piece of equipment that we've acquired to meet one need, and it kind of developed a think tank of, hey, maybe we could use it for this, or, you know, maybe we could do this with it. And it just evolved into year two. We upgraded to the current model, which is the T40 that's on the market now. And we were surprisingly able to cover, gosh, probably 90% of our farm using this technology. So what that did for us was allow timely applications exactly when that field needed. So if you've got a lot of small acreage tracts of farmland, like most of us do in South Georgia, you may be slower to address a insect problem or a fungus problem on a 20 or 30 acre field because, gosh, you'd have to fire up your ground rig to go spray that small tract. And you're kind of thinking, well, is it worth spending that time and money to go address that one issue in that one field versus waiting until you have a bigger problem so it justifies cranking up that, you know, gosh, they're $400,000 or $500,000 now for a self-propelled sprayer. And you can do it with a drone that, you know, you may have $30,000 or $40,000 in. So you're able to manage those problem areas on your farm a lot quicker and a lot easier with a low cost. So that's kind of what got us into space.
John, let me ask you a question right there. So if, what is your effective range from the operator to where the drone is flying and applying on a field?
Yeah, good question. So initially when we're approached by a customer or a potential customer, those are the questions that they ask, you know. How much can I do probably, how many acres an hour can I do is probably the number one most asked question. Uh-huh. So that is kind of, I tell everyone it's a loaded question. It's going to vary greatly depending on the field size. I think the manufacturer touts like a 40 to 42 acre an hour work range. For us in the South, because our fields are a lot smaller, that actual work range is probably closer to that 30 to 35 acres an hour. And you'll set, so they advertise a 34-foot swath range. We like to stay no bigger than about 30. So 28 to 30 foot swaths is what we've found works great for us down here in the South.
How much water are you putting out like that? What's the reservoir on it?
Yeah, another good question. So the name or the model number of each drone, like I mentioned earlier, the T30 would have been a 30-liter machine. Okay. So it's roughly a little over 8 gallons. The current model that's on the market now is a T40, so it'd be a 40-liter tank. That's about a 10.5 gallon. And on the horizon, it actually released last week, we have a T50, which if you follow the protocol of the previous models, you would think that that would be a 50-liter machine. It is not for the U.S. It is in the rest of the world, just because we have a little bit better regulation industry called the FAA here in the U.S. So they like to stick to what's already been approved. They base all their approvals based on, predominantly weight. So this machine weighs in right around 200, 210 pounds when it's fully loaded. So it's a pretty heavy object flying through the field.
What's the wingspan on the 40 model?
Yeah, so the 40 has four arms, tip, blade tip to blade tip. It's probably lands around that 10-foot wide mark. And probably the next question is, well, how does it get to 30 feet? So we use DJI is the only spray drone on the market that uses a tilted rotary axis. So essentially what you're doing is using the down propeller wash from each blade to blow that mixture out to that 30-foot or 35-foot if you want to be technical. Okay. Based on the manufacturer's recommendations. So it's a controlled drift, if you will, to achieve that swath width.
Okay, now I see why you kind of want to back up to the 30-foot and make sure you get a good coverage. Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What kind of conditions are necessary to fly in?
Yeah, good question. All very reoccurring questions from our customers. So the biggest one is, when is too windy to spray with this machine? So I just tell guys, most of our customers are, I would say 80% of them, are already farmers. So I just tell them to use the same parameters that you would with a ground rig. If it's too windy to spray with a ground rig, you know, it's too windy to spray with a spray drone. So nothing really changes as far as the limitations of when and where you can spray using a spray drone.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So what kind of training do y'all offer training, or is there a school that someone could attend to learn how to fly the drone and operate the drone?
Yeah, so if you're interested in one of these drones and you approach us, so there's a pile of dealers all across the country. Something unique to the AgriSpray model, business model, is when you approach us to get into this drone space, we like to tell guys that we educate first. So we tell you everything that we've learned using them on our own farm and the experiences, the goods, the bads, and the things to stay away from. So we bring that knowledge to the customer first, and then we kind of address, all right, what are you going to do with this machine? Are you row crop? Are you forestry? I mean, we've got customers all across the country now that are doing, you name it, they've tried it. We've got mosquito sprayer customers in Louisiana. We've got customers in Washington State that are using these drones to just blow air on cherry trees. I mean, I've met a lot of different farming practices and customers all across the country with this technology. So to answer your question, I would say we educate first, and then when you purchase a drone from us or any of our dealer network, we actually come to you on the farm and kind of spend however much time you need to get comfortable operating this machine, just like you would if you were buying a tractor. It's no different. And that's kind of the goal that we set out to do, is you're already used to a specific relationship with your equipment, farm equipment dealer now. We don't want to change that experience. We want to continue that.
Yeah. Well, I get that. That makes a lot of sense, I guess. Moving from one tractor to another tractor, if you purchase that, that's kind of self-explanatory to a certain degree. But drones are pretty new, and so y'all offering that, I'm sure it's a good buy-in. And if it was me, it would probably keep it off the ground and out of the trees. So
that is certainly something that most people are concerned about. I try to tell new customers, you know, it's not if you'll crash it, it's when. And we try to be there when that does happen to get you back up in the air. And that's another reason that we're so good, or we're so sought after in this industry, is because of the support that we provide. We farm just like you do, and we want to get you, we know time is money, we want to get you back in the air as quickly and as safely as possible. So when you have those unfortunate incidents, that's what we're here for, to provide the support and get that machine back going, just like you would expect your tractor dealer to do in the same situation.
Have you found the drones to be insurable on what's probably commonplace insurance carriers now? Is it becoming?
Yeah, so very early on, as you can imagine, it was a very new space. The very first, our insurance companies that we approached to basically insure our own machines that we got, it was kind of uncharted waters, and they initially treated it as just like you would a self-propelled machine. Hey, I just bought a sprayer. I want to insure it for this amount of money. And it was pretty easy just based on the relationship that we had with our insurance companies. Now, since then, fast forward 3 years, there's a lot more questions and probably a lot more incidents that they have under their belt. So they do require certain things, just depends on the company, but there are a pile of insurance companies out there now that will insure these just like you would any other piece of farm machinery.
That's good to know. What's the most original use of a drone that you've been a part of?
Gosh, that's we have, as I mentioned before, customers talk to customers all over the place. Probably the coolest to me that I've been a part of is spraying paint on greenhouses to change the amount of light that enters the top of that greenhouse based on a specific plant that they're targeting, maybe to slow down the growth. That was probably the coolest. The customer asked, hey, do you think we could do that? And I'm one of those, I don't know the answer to that, but hey, let's go try it. And that's probably one of the coolest. is just spraying a paint on glass panes to change the amount of sunlight that enters a greenhouse. That's probably the coolest.
That is cool. I would have never guessed that opportunity, Johnny.
Hey, Johnny, this is Reagan. I was wondering if you could talk about the packages you're selling in our area to our local farmers and how that works and the setup and how you get people started with that.
Yeah, sure. So the most, when someone approaches me as a potential customer, you know, they always ask, well, what do I get with this particular machine? So obviously they've probably seen the drone fly somewhere, someplace. And when they get interested, they ask, all right, well, what comes with that price? So we, the most common package that we sell will get you a drone, three batteries, a charger, a dry spreader, some spare parts that I wish somebody would have given us when we got started, spare remote batteries, charging cables to be able to quickly plug into a generator so you can charge fast. And then we also offer in that package an extended warranty and help to get you legal. So there's certain licenses that you have to have federally and also depending on the state that you'll be operating in or the states that you'll be operating in, you'll have to have regulatory licenses or permissions to operate in each individual state that you might want to. So all that's a part of that package that we sell. And not everyone chooses that package. Somebody might already be a crop duster. So that's another market that we've kind of recently got into is, you know, in the beginning, crop dusters, rightfully so, were a little bit threatened from this new technology because, you know, immediately you say, hey, they're going to take food off my table. But so they've realized that this machine can't replace a crop duster, but they can add it to their business model to be able to apply specific products on customers' fields that they just weren't able to touch in the past, just whether the issue is overspray or off-target possibilities, you can kind of address that with the drone because it's a lot more precise.
Well, I know most farming organizations are looking for an opportunity or another tool in the tool bag right now. So this seems like a good choice for a lot of situations. Are you seeing any landowners or contractors using the drones to spray ponds with?
Yeah, that's one of the bigger applications outside of row crop. So row crop for us, and I think it changes depending on the part of the country that you're located in, but for us in the South, our biggest customer base is ag, obviously. And then our next biggest industry would probably be that pond forestry applications. We've got a few customers that are strictly forest applicators, and they either run most of the time helicopters now, but a conversation that I had just the other day with a customer, you know, he's got a very successful helicopter forestry spraying business, but if someone called him with a 5-acre pond that, you know, they want to manage a specific weed or lily pads, you know, it's not really feasible to fire up your tanker and helicopter to go spray that small acreage. It just doesn't make business sense. So he added a drone to be able to capture that small portion of his market. And what he realized is that one customer that called him, that's a new customer that called him with a 5-acre pond, may actually, in reality, own a large tract of land somewhere else that he could use that business, you know, down the road. So he would miss out on that client base had he not been able to meet that small pond acreage.
So if I was interested in purchasing a drone and I came to you and wanted a kind of a turnkey type piece of equipment and all the package and all to go with it, what would I expect to need to acquire to be able to leave and go use this drone on my place?
Sure, that's a good question. So you would obviously give me a holler. We'd have a conversation. Hey, what do you want to do with this machine? And then, you know, I don't think we've gone into much detail with it, but so the T40 is capable of doing, like I said, around 30 to 35 acres an hour, an effective swath width of about 30 foot. And there's different parameters, obviously, that you can change. You can change how fast it flies, the gallons per acre that it normally would put out, and then the height above the crop. So all those things are questions that pop up after the customer has gotten it. So we try to educate the customer first. Hey, this is what we're doing with it. If it aligns up with what you're wanting to do, we have somebody somewhere that has done what you're going after. So I would say let's have a conversation first. Give me a call. We'll talk over it, figure out what your operation needs are. And then there's several models of this technology. There's one as small as a 10 liter. And then they go here in the summer, we'll have the T50, which will, you know, be large acre tracks. So there's models all the way in between there. And then you can kind of, that leads into another discussion. Hey, what are these thermal drones that I see everybody buying for hog hunting and deer recovery? I mean, that's a whole another line of machines that are available to us to meet a need that the customer might have. So I would say, give me a call. We would figure out what your needs are, and then we kind of recommend, hey, this model sounds like it fits your operation, and then kind of build a custom package for each client. That's what we like to do. We want to solve problems on your operation.
So, John, if I come to you and we agree on this and we decide on a drone that's right for my farm or my purpose, what I want to get done, just say I'm a custom applicator and I want to get the 40 model, what will I need? Will I need a trailer, or can I put that in the back of the truck and haul it around, or how does that work? I guess you'll need a water supply and all. What does that look like?
All those are great questions. So that's probably the second most asked question that I get is, hey, what does my trailer need to look like? And again, that's a loaded question, depending on what you're doing. So for most large ag operations like what we are, you'll have a custom-built machine that'll carry or have the capacity to carry, you know, 5 to 1,000 gallons of water, which would give you enough liquid, depending on the rate that you're putting out, obviously. To spray all day, you'll need to have a generator big enough to fast charge these batteries, because they are battery-powered. Typically, if you're spraying at 2 gallons per acre, it'll empty out that tank in about 5 to 6 minutes, depending on taxi time, how far away it has to go to get started to actually work. So that's pretty quick. The very next question would be, well, how quick can I charge that battery? If you're hooked to a generator large enough with a 50 amp plug, those batteries can be recharged in about 8 to 9 minutes. So it's pretty quick. And if you know anything about charging something quickly, it generates a lot of heat. So remember earlier I said the drone package that we most commonly sell has 3 batteries in it. So you'll have 1 battery in the drone while it's doing work, 1 on the charger charging, and then 1 ready to go at all times. So when that machine comes back, because it's out of liquid, it's already coming back home, you fill it back up, change the battery out, send it back on its way. And ideally, to get that 30 to 35 acre an hour efficiency, you need to have that drone on the ground refilling no less than, you want to be quicker than about a minute. So it's just a repetitive constant, you know, about every 7-8 minutes, you're refilling that machine and putting a new battery in it and sending it back to continue its task.
Wow, that's interesting. I can see a storage trailer with water tank and all your equipment that you need on it, and a little, just kind of a self-contained unit then probably is what you suggest.
Yeah, so those are the things that you need. And then after that, it's all about comfort. So what do you want? Do you want to have an enclosure with air conditioning? I certainly would, especially in the summertime. do you need an operating platform? So if you're spraying corn at all, you're going to want to have a platform tall enough to be able to see over, you know, the tops of that corn once it's mature. Because, you know, after about 100 feet, if you're on the ground, you lose sight of it. So you want to always have your eyes on that machine, no matter where it's at in the field. So a platform comes into handy there. If you're doing a forestry or pond style spraying, you may need a landing platform on your trailer, because your safe landing zones in those applications are a lot fewer and far between than if you were in a ag field. So all that comes into count, and that's kind of what I was telling you, we kind of have a conversation, all right, what are you going to be doing with this drone? And we can kind of recommend. There's no cookie cutter trailer setup, if you will. Everybody has different needs and different comforts even that they would like. And I always tell everybody, start simple. Get a flatbed, something that you can put a tote on and space enough to store your drone and batteries and generator. And then you kind of figure out, all right, I wish I had this, 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 and this. I can tell you what we use, but that not, might not be, that might not fit you and your operation.
What about service and maintenance? Is that readily available through you?
Yeah, good question. So we do have we are a full authorized service center there in Lee County. So we can meet any needs service-wise that you have. The biggest thing really that is serviceable on the drone itself is the battery. So they have about a 1,500 charge cycle life, and that'll vary depending on how you take care of them. If you store them properly, you know, all that comes into account. We've got I can think of one customer right now that's got 25 plus 1,000 acres on his set of batteries. So by the rule of thumb of using that charge cycle life, he should have already replaced his batteries, but he has not. So it's really, that's kind of just the general life expectancy of the battery. But your battery probably is going to be the first thing that you service or replace if everything goes as the drone is designed. But remember, I told you, most new operators probably within the first few months of them flying, they're learning the capabilities, learning the limitations of you and the machine. So unfortunately, a crash will usually be involved in that. And that's kind of where we, you know, tell guys, most everybody, their first crash is like, Johnny, the conversation goes something like this. Johnny, I've crashed my drone and it's really bad. I don't think you can fix it. And to this date, we have not had a customer that we weren't able to get back in the air. So I always tell them, I haven't seen it. Go ahead and send me pictures, but it's not as bad as you think it is. We can get it back going.
That's awesome. That's probably a relief for the customer to hear that and see it.
Less than the blow of seeing this, you know, $30,000-$40,000 piece of machinery folded up in the field. But once we get it back in there, you know, they're like, then they can sigh. And then they'll have that sigh of relief, like, oh, it really wasn't as bad. But initially, on their first crash, everybody's reaction is the same. I think I really messed up, and it ain't fixable.
Well, I haven't purchased one and crashed it. Would be your first. I can do things like that. I want to take this opportunity to welcome Reagan Brown to the mic. Reagan Brown has been employed with Southwest Georgia over 18 years. She has her MBA from Georgia Southwestern and has held various positions and is currently residential lending unit and other financial services manager. She started the Farm Credit Express product for Southwest Georgia Farm Credit and other Farm Credit Association and has been working with equipment financing and leasing for the past 10 years. Reagan resides in Leesburg with her husband, Richard, and children. Welcome, Reagan, to the mic.
It's great to be here again.
It's good to see you. I think one of the questions in talking with Johnny is how we're going to pay for it. So according to your credentials, you have the money to do that. So tell us what that looks like.
Like I said, Johnny can provide an application to the borrower. He can submit it to me, and we're more than happy to help him get those drones financed.
So Johnny is an authentic Farm Credit Express dealer.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, because not only does our Flint River Irrigation sell the drones, but they also sell irrigation pivots. So Johnny and I have been working together for a long time.
Well, between you and Johnny, you got the needs of Southwest Georgia farmers pretty well covered.
That's right.
In the field. So Reagan, tell us, in these times, what are you seeing out in the equipment market right now?
Well, obviously the biggest question I get are interest rates and when they're going to go down. And I think we know that they're not going down as fast as we thought they were going to go down in 2024. But with some of the products we have to offer through Farm Credit Express and Farm Credit Leasing, we definitely have options for our customers to kind of offset that risk. We can do 100% financing. Our interest rates are competitive with other competitors out in the field. Our biggest compliment would be our patronage program that we're going to pay our customers dividends back every year. We have that to offer. And then with the leasing right now, leasing is a great option for equipment as well. And the interest rate on leases are sometimes lower than what you can get on us a loan. And all of these options are available at our dealerships through Farm Credit Express, or you can talk with your local branch.
Great. So there's lots of avenues to take part in financing the equipment. Reagan, one point, I guess, is that Farm Credit, all the Farm Credits operate as co-ops, so those patronages are going back to our members. And I was talking with a farmer the other day out in the field, and he made the comment, there's nothing like doing business with yourself. Why wouldn't you make that choice? And I thought that was pretty cool.
Well, that's what really, really sets us apart from a traditional lender. We understand the unique needs of a farmer or landowners.
That's right. I think most of our REMs, our relationship managers, and then a lot of our folks that stay inside the buildings and our analysts and people that just make it happen all over Farm Credit either come from a farming background or their family may be actively farming in some capacity. So we're always kind of armed to know what's going on out there and got to.
That's right.
Reagan, the other day I was meeting with a customer, and as you mentioned in the rate environment now, people are looking for different options. And you mentioned leasing a while ago. And so if I was a customer and I had a piece of equipment that I was going to buy and maybe I wanted to look at both options, could you give me, walk me through that. Tell me what that would look like.
The good thing about a lease is there's a lot of different options you can choose from on an equipment lease. We can do a fixed purchase option, which works very similar to a loan. At the end of the lease, you can you would either own it, trade it, or give it back to the leasing company. We can do a pro lease, which is purchase or renew only. So you could purchase it at the end or trade it in and renew it for another piece of equipment. So those are a lot of different options with a lease. Leases provide the 100% financing. They typically have a lower payment than a loan because their price right now in the market, leases are priced lower than a loan.
Yeah, I think the other day I had the opportunity for you to price a metal building, and we looked at a lease, and then I built an amortization schedule for the customer. You prepared the lease proposal a couple of different ways, like you mentioned, with those options. And then we gave that to the CPA and let the CPA recommend what would be best for the customer.
Exactly.
And so I guess you're open to making those proposals about any time, aren't you?
Yes, anytime. Just let me know.
So, Johnny, if we were going to start maybe from start to finish, describe that process. Walk me through what that would look like if I picked up the phone and called you and said, hey, Johnny, I've got this project and I've got a desire to possibly maybe look at purchasing a drone. Could I come meet with you? Tell me from that point forward what to expect.
Yeah, good question. So obviously we get together, figure out the drone that would fit your operation, and then get your machine picked out, activated, and kind of once we've done the initial in on-farm training, there are processes and licenses that you have to get to be legal. Since we're in Georgia, I can kind of give you what that looks like. Every state, obviously, like I mentioned before, is a little different. But in Georgia, you would need to apply, so you'd have to have a 107 drone pilot's license, and that is actually required even if you go buy one of these small DJI models and you're going to go do some photo drone related that you're going to make money off of, you're required to have a part 107 drone license. So you'd have to get that, and you can kind of, if you're in the tossing around the idea of getting one of these drones, you can go ahead and get that started today without owning a drone. It's just a test. I think it's 100 questions. You go and take, usually at a tech school close by. Most all the ones in Georgia offer it, or there's one close to you that do offer that course. So the 107, and then because this drone, as we mentioned before, it's heavy, anything over 55 pounds, you have to have an exemption or a waiver to be able to fly that machine because it's so heavy. And that would fall under the 44807 exemption. And then you would have to have a part 137, which is essentially a license you have to be able to spray from the air. So apply any product that is going to be applied using air as a carrier. That would be your 137. And those are all federal. And then you would have to register your drone also. So it would have an end tail number just like an airplane would. You have to go through those processes. And again, like I mentioned, we can help you with all of those processes on the federal level. And then you would still need, again, we're talking about Georgia. In the state of Georgia, you'd need a private applicator's license to put out chemical for yourself. And if you're going to do this for hire, if you're going to be a custom applicator, you would need to have a custom applicator's license in the state of Georgia. And right now, the federal process, it's taken anywhere from about 6 to 8 weeks. So they've streamlined the process in the past. Very early when we got started, I think that process, the wait time expected was 8 to 9 months. And I've heard of horror stories where it's taken over a year in the very beginning. So as long as you have everything that you need to get started, so an LLC, I mean, those are things that you have to take in consideration if you're going to operate under an LLC. You'll need to have that created and finalized before you start the federal FAA process. It'll just make it a lot easier so you're not waiting on that information from them to get those forms filled out. So right now, start to finish, to get completely legal, it's taken, you know, 6 to 8 weeks.
Okay. So in a 2 months lead time, you could maybe get me up and flying, supply the drone, get me licensed, certified, and ready to roll.
Yes, sir. To physically fly the drone, I'm going to say 90% of the customers that we deal with, they're already mechanically equipment savvy. If you can run a cell phone, you can run the controller on this machine. So with a good hard crash course in about 2 hours, you could be pretty fluent flying this machine. Because also remember, if these machines are doing what they're intended and designed to do, you're not flying it anyway. You're just programming a flight route in a field and telling it how much to spray, how fast, how high, and where. And the machine's working completely autonomously. So really, in all honesty, your input on that controller to make that machine do what it needs to do to accomplish a task is very little.
That's awesome and amazing. Man, the technology in agriculture has really made really progress with leaps and bounds. That's just amazing. Johnny, it's been fun talking with you on this. Reagan, do you have anything else to add?
No, I think I'm good. Thanks for being here today, Johnny. We appreciate it.
That concludes our podcast today with Johnny and Reagan. For more information, visit our website at swgafarmcredit.com. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite app to get notified of new episodes. And follow us on Facebook and Instagram for great industry resources. Thanks for listening and look forward to seeing you again.